May the Lord help us to commence our service this evening by singing hymn 763. 763. Alas, and did my Saviour bleed, and did my Sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? 763.
Please God to bless the reading of his words to the profit of our souls this evening. We'll read two chapters, and the first is in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and chapter 4. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians and reading chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And now let us turn to the book of Job and read the 11th chapter. The book of Job and reading chapter 11. The book of Job and reading chapter 11. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eye. But, oh, that God would speak, and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up, or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also, will he not then consider it? For vain man would be wise, though man is born like a wild as his colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away, and thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and shalt take thy rest in safety. Also, thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall suit unto thee, but the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Well, may God graciously instruct us from his holy word and help us now to join together in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal, ever gracious, merciful Lord God of heaven and earth, thou who art holy, 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 thou who art higher than the heavens, O Lord, may we have some right understanding of the greatness of our God. And therefore, Lord, we are so thankful tonight that we, as unworthy sinners of the earth, can approach unto the majesty on high through the merits of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe it to be true that the door of thy mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. And so, Lord, we give thanks tonight that we have a mercy seat, a throne of grace that we can come to in every time of need. And Lord, not only in every time of need, but Lord, we would also desire to come and render thanks unto thee and praise unto thee for all thy goodness and mercy, which has followed us all the days of our life. Lord, help us each to remember all the way that thou hast led us these many years in the wilderness. O Lord, we pray that thou would indeed, if necessary, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, thou knowest the situation, the condition of each of us. We do pray, Lord, that we may be healthy in our souls. We pray, Lord, we may not be left to a time of famine, a famine of the hearing of the word. But, O Lord, it may be a continual desire to walk before thee in the light of thy countenance, and to be privileged and favoured with that union communion with our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us to ever realise the importance of these great things. And Lord, we live in the world, thou knowest, the many things which come into our lives of necessity, but we pray, Lord, they may not overtake us, and they may not be allowed to dominate our thoughts or our minds or our actions. But Lord, may we be able to be diligent in the things of God, to seek first thy kingdom, believing that all other necessary things will be added unto us. And so, Lord, we come on this Lord's Day evening in the midst of a problematic world. And Lord, we are grateful for the privilege which we have of being able to come through the use of current technology. Lord, how good thou art, because we know that without this we should have been isolated in our homes. Without to be able to gather together and to hear the word preached. But Lord, we're thankful today for thy goodness and mercy in this respect. And we pray that we may be thankful for it. And Lord, we're thankful to know that these occasions have been used, and we pray that will continue to be used, that thy Holy Spirit may come into each of our hearts as we're found in our own homes. And Lord, we pray that we may have the wonderful revelation that thou art with us in our homes. Indeed, Lord, we don't want to be in our homes without thee. We pray, therefore, gracious God, that perhaps in the midst of great adversity, thou wilt grant an establishing of the truth in our souls. For, O Lord, we pray then that we may be concerned to be led into all truth as it is in Jesus. And, Lord, to not be satisfied with just a mere outward profession. But, Lord, may we be blessed with that wonderful inward possession of thy grace, thy love, thy mercy. And so, Lord, bless every one of us, Lord, young and old. Especially pray for all the children and young people in this day and age in which we live. Lord, may they have reason to stop and consider why these things have come upon us as a world. Lord, clearly thy judgments have gone forth, and clearly there is a cause. Lord, in answer to that question, is there not a cause? And Lord, clearly there is. And we pray, therefore, there may be a humble submission before our God. Oh Lord, we pray that we may, indeed as thy word declares, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, believing wonderfully that he cares for us. And so, gracious God, we do pray for our young people as they're no doubt finding it perhaps difficult to continue in their home life and not being able to meet with their friends. But Lord, we seek that thou would indeed condescend to graciously bless them and make them willing, Lord, to be content with the situation and position they find themselves in. And Lord, we're grateful in one way for the wonderful opportunity that we all have of being confined to our homes and being able to spend more time there. And Lord, may it be used for the benefit of our souls, that we may be able to read more of thy word, that we may be able to pray more, that we may be able to perhaps read books that we haven't read before, or perhaps books that we have read before, which may benefit from rereading. And so Lord, we seek that this time of lockdown may indeed, in thy great mercy and providence, prove to be a time of true blessing for the church of God. Lord, we don't want to come out of this situation in the same way perhaps that we all went into it. But Lord, may we have the realization that our God reigns, that God who is all powerful. And Lord, we know that thou couldst cure this in an instant. But Lord, we desire to commit our way unto thee, to trust in thee, believing that what thou art doing is for the best. And Lord, may we indeed in due time be able to recognize the benefit it's been in each of our souls. Oh Lord, we do pray then for greater spirituality. We know, Lord, there's been much lukewarmness. We know, Lord, there's been not much carnality. But we're thankful, Lord, that are able to change these things, that are able to turn us. Lord, as thou said, and if we are turned, we shall be turned, because it is the work of Almighty God. And so, Lord, look upon us then for good. And we're thankful, Lord, that we've been kept well. We're thankful, Lord, for the friends here at Swaversea, on the most part, have been kept well. And we pray that this may continue. It could be thy holy will, Lord. None of us deserve any mercy or blessings, but we're very grateful, Lord, when let us hear prayers to this end. And we pray that will keep us all well, if it could be thy holy will, and pass through this time. We don't know, Lord, how long it's going to take, But Lord, we pray that thy will may be done and that there may be much blessing following. We pray, Lord, for all those who are involved in this work to look after the many, many cases which exist. We're grateful, Lord, for the ability given to our National Health Service to be able to cope with the situation. We're thankful for the many who have come through this virus and are now once again healthy. But Lord, we realize there are still many who are being contacted by this virus and are falling under it. And we pray, Lord, that we continue to be with doctors and nurses and ambulance people, Lord, and the police force and the armed forces, Lord, how many there are involved in this situation. And Lord, we realize that through this, thou hast brought our nation and the nations of the world to a very low place economically. And Lord, we pray that there may therefore be a very clear voice in this, that people may recognize it is the Lord speaking. Oh, Lord, do then arise, we pray. Lord, we prayed for many years for better days. We prayed, oh, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And Lord, we never expected a situation like this, but Lord, thou art on the throne, and we would bow before thy sovereign will and purpose. And Lord, may we be able to come and say with those words in scripture, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And so, Lord, we come again praying for our country, praying that we'll have mercy upon us, praying that we'll remember us for good. And Lord, we pray for all those who are perhaps affected financially by this virus. Lord, may they be able to commit their way unto the Lord. We pray that they will provide for all their needs. Lord, we pray for all the sermons which are preached through the internet at the current time. We know, Lord, there are more people listening to sermons than there have been perhaps for many, many years, perhaps never been so many. Lord, thou knowest thy wondrous work in these ways. And we pray, Lord, therefore, that thy word may truly be blessed, and that souls may be blessed. And we're thankful, Lord, there are those inquiring minds wondering what is the cause and what is happening. We pray, Lord, they may be found looking unto the Lord God who omnipotent reigns. And so, gracious God, we come commending ourselves into thy hands once more. And Lord, we do pray tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ may be lifted up and honored and glorified. Oh Lord, may we know the wonderful drawing power of the Savior. And we think of those words in Song of Solomon, draw me, we will run after thee. And we pray, Lord, there may be many willing feet running after thee and prove to be amongst the true followers of that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. O Lord, grant then thy blessing tonight. Lord, thou alone canst apply the word. Thou alone can speak the word into our hearts. But we do pray, Lord, there may be something done tonight in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And so, gracious God, we come now commending ourselves to thee. Be with us and bless us indeed and forgive our every sin. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us continue by singing hymn 150. Hymn 150. The sweet Lamb of God comes forth to be slain and offers his blood to purge off our stain. With bitterest anguish and groans on the tree, the Saviour did languish for sinners like me. Hymn 150. Thank you.
May it please God to bless us together this evening as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the book of Job and chapter 11, and we'll read verse 18. The book of Job, chapter 11, and reading verse 18. And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Security and eternal security is indeed a great blessing. And it will be a mercy from God if such a word as this is applied to our soul, as Zophar wrote these words for Job, and thou shalt be secure. The word of God so often is very positive, and we should be thankful that the word of God is positive to us tonight in this way. And thou shalt be secure. And if we indeed are secure, the wonderful blessing is this, that it is well with our soul. Now, this should be good news to a believer. Good news to have the evidence that they are secure. And that means that they are in Christ, and Christ in them, the hope of glory. This indeed is a wonderful favor, and it is a most essential blessing, really, because without it, we shall pass out of time into a lost eternity. There is sometimes a turning away from such words as this, but you know, blessed with the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in our souls and the confirmation of it by the Holy Spirit, there is the evidence that we are secure, and that eternally. Well, what a blessing if that is confirmed to us tonight. You know, Zophar wrote these words, and they were quite harsh words to begin with in this 11th chapter. Before that, we've had Eliphaz, who began with a relatively modest preface. And then Bildad was a little more rough upon Job, and then Zophar falls upon him almost without mercy for the first part of this chapter. No doubt he thought he was doing that which was right, and even cries out, oh, that God would speak and open his lips against Job. But you see, God had a time to open his lips to Job, and it wasn't against Job. It was to encourage him. We can often, therefore, make a wrong judgment. And so far, clearly, in these earlier verses, made a wrong judgment. But nonetheless, we're thankful that as we come down towards the end of this chapter, the tone changes, and we have these evidences of the mercy of God. We come down to the 13th verse, we read, if thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let thy wickedness, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. So that was good words of advice, wasn't it? And they're good words of advice to us today, to let not wickedness dwell in our homes and in our houses. That's what tabernacles refer to in those days. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. Well, so they do. But we need the encouragement and the reality that it is indeed well with our soul. Surely this should be the great concern of each one of us as we pass through life, and how quickly we do pass through life. The years fly by, and it will be a mercy then to know that we are eternally secure. And the Zophar goes on just to say, because there is hope, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. And what is that hope? To encourage us to come to this realization that by the grace of God we are secure. It really means that the Lord blesses us with that humble and yet true assurance that God is with us, that God has quickened us, that God has made us alive. And because that is so, if we have the evidence of it, then we are secure. And there is a hope, and it is a good hope, and it's a hope which will not be taken away from us. In the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, Paul refers to this, and he refers to it very beautifully as an anchor. He says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Well, we know within the veil whether the forerunner is for us entered, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is our hope tonight resting upon what Christ has done, and resting upon what Christ has done for us, that we may have the wonderful evidence that we do possess the gift of God of eternal life? You see, if the Holy Spirit conveys this to us with divine power from on high, then we shall be secure, and we shall have a good hope, indeed, with reference to our eternal state. Well, may we then be concerned to know how stands the case, my soul, with thee. For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? And these things are so vital and so important to us. And Job in his life had many difficulties, as we know. You read through the book of Job, he was wonderfully blessed in the beginning, and then those blessings were removed. He didn't understand really his condition, why these things had come upon him, but it brought him right down. What a mercy it is when God brings us right down. And he came and had to say, behold, I am vile. He didn't say he was a great person. He didn't claim anything. He just came before God to confess that he was indeed a vile sinner. And he needed, of course, the mercy of God in the same way that you and I do today. And then he also said in the last 39th chapter, he says, in the 42nd chapter, he says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. It's good, isn't it, when we're honest before God. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. That was, of course, the eye of faith. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Well, that is a blessing when God brings us to a condition like that, where we have to say before God, and that's one who we have to confess to, our God, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And these weren't just mere words with Job. They were expressions from his very heart, because what had happened was his three friends had spoken, and then Eliphaz had spoken, and then God spoke. And when God spoke to him, that produced the change. That produced the difference. He didn't then try anymore to justify himself. He came down and spoke those words which I've just read to you. So what a blessing it is if God instructs us in this way, because it is an evidence of God's love and mercy toward us. And it is an evidence, therefore, that God is dealing with us. And if God is dealing with us, then we shall be secure, because we have that hope in those dealings which he's doing with us and for us are for our eternal good. Well, Job again was a man blessed, really. And as we pass through the book of Job, there are a number of outstanding texts, really. And he tells us in the midst of his trouble, really, in the 16th chapter, the 19th verse, he says, "Also now, behold, behold," we are to observe, we are to see, "behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." Now then, if we have a witness in heaven, and who is that witness? None less than the great and glorious Savior himself. "My witness is in heaven, and my record is on high," because there in glory, his work, the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's soul, is recorded. It's not lost. It's not thrown away. There it is, as an evidence of security. "And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope." And then another word that he spoke, and again, these are positive statements that Job made. And therefore, if sometimes we might feel like Job, to remember he was brought low, but he was raised up, and he was raised up to testify of God's goodness and mercy to him. And that's why in the 19th chapter we read this, verse 25. "For I know," there wasn't any doubt about it, "for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." What a revelation that was to Job, wasn't it? To first of all know that his Redeemer, and that was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, liveth, and that he would indeed stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, these things are surely encouraging for us to know that as Job was blessed with this wonderful security in the knowledge that God had done and was doing these things for him, so may we be encouraged in our little lives to know the wonderful blessing of God toward us. And really that comes, doesn't it? And it's centered really in the love of Christ to our souls. We never deserved any favor. We never deserved to be loved. There's nothing naturally in us that would attract God, attract the Savior. We were sinners of the earth, disobedient sinners, turned our back upon God, done that which was wrong. And yet God, in his love, was merciful. And that word in Jeremiah is a glorious word in the 31st chapter. "Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, if the love of God has drawn us to himself, this indeed is a great evidence that this word is so applicable to us. and thou shalt be secure. It's not something that you and I produced. It's not something that you and I deserved. It was his sovereign grace on such love. My soul will still ponder. Love so great, so rich, so free. Say was lost in holy wonder. Why, O God, such love to me. Hallelujah. Oh, we shall desire to praise God. And it would be a good thing if we do praise God for this wonderful evidence and this security. And thou shalt be secure. Well, it's a mercy, isn't it? If therefore we're favored in this way to know Christ's love toward us. And you know, that love is set forth in a very wonderful and a very glorious way in the chapter that we read in the Corinthians, the second of Corinthians, and the fourth chapter and the sixth verse is such a wonderful statement. And this is what it says. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is a wonderful statement. That is a wonderful truth. And it's a very, very humbling position to think that Almighty God, none less, it couldn't be any less, Almighty God commanded the light to shine. There were we in darkness, in the darkness that we were born into. No spiritual light, darkness, dead in trespasses and in sins. And yet you see, here we have this statement, for God who commanded. And when God commands, nothing stands in the way. Nothing can oppose. God commands and it is done. God who commands the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts. Well, this is a glorious evidence of the grace of God toward us. The light, the glorious light of the everlasting gospel shines into our heart. And what a change. Darkness and light. There's nothing more different, is there, than between darkness and light. And that's just what it is in our spiritual life. We are in darkness until the light shines. And when the light shines, we have the evidence that we are amongst those whom Christ has loved. We have the evidence that we are amongst those that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to die for. And this light shines into our hearts, into our soul, into our very innermost being. And what does it do? This is what it does. It gives the light of the knowledge, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in him all that is needful for the blessing of eternal life. And this is a glory indeed to be able to view the blessed Saviour. And what it means is this, is to come to Calvary, is to come to the cross, is to see the glorious Saviour dying there in order to redeem our souls and the enormous price that was required to redeem our souls was the sacrifice of his life. He gave his life that we might receive life. Now that is a wonderful truth and a wonderful blessing. And when the light shines, shines into our hearts when we find ourselves at Calvary, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and view in him. And what do we see there? We have the evidence that it's well with our soul. Why do we have the evidence? Because we see that by the grace of God, the blood was shed upon Calvary's tree to redeem our souls. That we are indeed, as the Apostle Peter said, not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now then, if the Holy Spirit has directed us to this glorious truth, and that same Spirit has applied these words to our very soul, then this word must be true, and thou shalt be secure, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yes, there is that good hope for what Jesus has done for us, and it'll mean that we've been secure from coming out of darkness and difficulties and distress and from evil and the enemy. And then nothing shall come nigh to disturb and hurt because we are secure. The devil can never take away the security that God gives to his people. And that security is because of what Christ has done. We are secure in him. And Christ did not die in vain. Christ died to redeem our souls. Christ willingly gave his life. It's a truth which really is beyond our natural comprehension to be able to appreciate that the great God, the second person in the Trinity, was so willing to come into this sinful world to die for sinful men and women. Well, what cause we have then to praise God, do we not? Praise God for his wonderful mercy and wonderful love toward us. What security there is then in this, to trace out what God has done. And if he's done this for us, the evidence is there that we have passed from darkness to light, and also, of course, that we have been blessed with the glory of that new birth, which produces the wonderful favor and blessing. So that those words that the Lord spoke to Nicodemus are so, so true, that we must be born again. We cannot remain in our dark and sinful condition. We must be born again. We must possess that new nature. We must possess the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ has indeed come into this world to redeem our souls, to save us. These things are very real. These things are very personal. But my friends, we need the reality of these things made over to us. We should not be satisfied just to jog along in this poor old world with some vain hope that it might be all right at the end, that something's going to turn up. No, you and I should be urgently seeking to God, and he will reveal himself unto us. As we've spoken in this verse in Corinthians, he will reveal that light, the glorious light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ, and that through that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Underneath are the everlasting arms. No one can slip through the arms of Jesus. Oh, my friends, what a comfort that is to the believer to realize we are eternally safe. Security. Security. And so we can thank God tonight for such a word as this, and thou shalt be secure, because there is hope, and that hope which God has graciously given to us. Well, tonight, we need to, don't we, look into our own hearts, because, as I've said, religion is personal. It's between your soul and my soul and God. No one stands between. No one can die for us. No one can take our place. We're each been born into this world. We must each pass out of this world by ourselves. Many people recently through this virus have passed out of this world by themselves, physically. No one's been allowed to be with them. That, of course, is naturally a very sad situation. But it's true, of course, with regard to our spiritual state. No one can be with us. No one can go with us. We have to pass out of this world by ourselves. And yet what a mercy it is to realize that we are amongst those whom the Lord Jesus is waiting to receive. You know those words the Lord Jesus wrote, or rather spoke in that upper room on that Passover night? They're really very wonderful words of encouragement to his disciples, because they knew he was going to be taken from them. And therefore he conveys it in these terms: let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? Just think of that. God, the glorious Savior, has gone to prepare a place for us. So there won't be any surprises. There won't be, we won't come there and find there's not room, there's not a place. No. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The truth is, heaven is really being with Christ. Heaven is really to be with Christ, to praise him for his great and wonderful work of salvation, to praise him for saving our souls, for redeeming our souls, so that we will be amongst those who will be singing that new song, "Worthy is the Lamb that was crucified, that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb." Now, I believe very firmly this: you and I won't get to heaven as a stranger. You and I will have had a foretaste of the love of the Savior. We would have had the evidence of his mercy, of his saving grace, the value of his shed blood, the preciousness of it. It won't be something you and I are not familiar with. Some more, some less. But there will be the wonderful time then to praise our God for what he's done. But we shall desire to praise God on this earth. We will desire to honor him. The word of God tells us, doesn't it, very clearly: those that honor me, I shall honor, I will honor. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And the true believer desires to honor their God, honor the Savior for what he's done in redeeming their soul, and shedding his most precious blood on their behalf. That he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's come to seek and to save a sinner like me. What a glorious truth that is, and what a wonderful blessing it will be to be found at last in glory with the Savior forever and forever. Well, the reality is that then, blessed with these evidences, there should be no fear, but we should be humbly confident of our redemption, and we should have a blessed assurance of it because of God's love toward us. You know, people, I believe, dishonor their great and glorious God by pretending they haven't got any evidence of God's gracious work in their heart. And sometimes I've been able to challenge people who have kind of acted as though they don't really know. But when pressed as to whether they have any evidence, they have to come and confess, well, I couldn't say I don't have any hope. And so, my friends, remember, a little hope is a good hope. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Rest on what God has done. Bless God for what he's done. If he's done anything for you, it's more valuable than anything this earth can bring to you, because it is eternal. This world would have been burnt up, and nothing will be there like it is now. But our souls will be in eternity. And what a mercy then it is to be in that glorious place with our Savior and the whole church of God, the redeemed of the Lord. And you see, we will not want to be with any who are not redeemed. You will not want to have people there who are not redeemed. People sometimes think, well, I shall miss so-and-so, I miss so-and-so. You won't miss so-and-so unless they're a true child of God, because there is no discord in heaven. Heaven is a perfect place of happiness and unity and praise to Almighty God. Well, it's a good thing, isn't it, if we therefore are blessed with this great and humble evidence that this salvation by Christ is ours, and that eternal glory and happiness is also ours because of what God has done for us. And we have therefore a good foundation on which to base our good hope, and that foundation is Christ. Often think it's a lovely parable the Lord Jesus spoke about the man that built his house upon the sand and the man that built his house upon a rock. And they no doubt looked very nice when they were both built. The one had an easy build on the sand. The other one had a difficult build to dig deep to get down to the rock. But he got down there. And then in the times of trial, when the winds blew and the floods came, then the house built upon the sand collapsed. But the house on the rock stood firm. Doesn't mean to say you and I won't be sometimes tempted about our security. But we'll only be tempted by our security, by the evil devil himself, who will endeavor to persuade us that our religion is false, that that which we are relying on is of the flesh. Well, sometimes I've mentioned it. I may have mentioned it in Swavesey, I can't be sure. But John Warburton, when he was wonderfully blessed by the Holy Spirit, so blessed he danced in the field. And the devil said to him, I did that. And John Warburton said, devil, if you did it, do it again. And of course, he wasn't able to. The devil is not able to reproduce the blessings of God, because the blessings of God bring peace into our soul, and we're taken up with the things of God and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So what a mercy tonight, if we are enabled to recognize the truth of these words. I'm sure the book of Job is not read very much, and the book of Job is not preached from very much, but there are some very precious truths contained in it, because Job was a child of God, and it does show us something of God's gracious dealings with his children. Not the way that you and I would anticipate. Well, God deals with his people not the way they would anticipate. He never dealt with the children of Israel in the way that would anticipate, but the Lord brought them safely across through the wilderness, across Jordan, and into Canaan at last. Yes, the Lord was good, and the Lord was merciful, and the Lord is good today. We live in a dark day, really. A dark day because men and women are not willing to really, at the moment anyway, outwardly confess their sin, our national sin, our world sin. It may have to get worse yet before that occurs. We know not. But you and I in our little lives, we should be very concerned to recognize that before the world, we are the witnesses for God. The Lord tells us very clearly in Isaiah, ye are my witnesses. And we should not keep silence. We should tell people this is the judgment of God and what we deserve, because we've turned away from his word. We've done those things contrary to his word. We must never be afraid of speaking of the truth of God. Our flesh sometimes is weak, but my friends, God can strengthen the weakest believer to make them strong and bold. Well, perhaps the Lord has called you and me to be on the earth for such a time as this. Remember, Esther was brought to the kingdom, as Mordecai said, perhaps for such a time as this. And it was so. And she was used very wonderfully to deliver all the Jewish race. You and I don't know whether you and I are on the earth at this time for such a cause as this. Our great desire should be to serve the Lord. All of us, my friends, every one of us, if we're born again in the Spirit of God, are the servants of God. And let's not hide under some insecurity and say, well, I don't think so. No, yes, every one of us who is born again in the Spirit is a servant of the living God. Well, may we bless God tonight for the evidence that is contained in the Word of God for the security of his church. And may you and I tonight have the evidence of it. We'll just go on this for a moment. Not much more to say on this verse, as far as I'm concerned. But it says, because there is hope, yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. That may sound a rather strange expression, it does to me. But it would seem perhaps in those days that they, of course, had tents, and they needed to dig down to put the tent poles in, and to also put all the stakes for the guy ropes and that. And so this may well be the truth of this verse here. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. And then when the tent was raised up and safe, they were then able to rest there. Well, may God indeed instruct us, and may God bless us, and may God encourage us as we look into our hearts and find there, and do look for it, and do seek for it, and don't pass it by. And don't say, well, that was nothing. And don't despise the day of small things, because we should never count anything that God does as small. Because when we align it with eternity, it is great and valuable. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope, or good hope through grace, that it's well with our souls. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Amen.
God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field. And on Tuesday evening, Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach as Mr. Pack is unable. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach at 10:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening. Let us close with hymn 183. 183. By covenant, transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin-bearing victim I stood, yea, for them my life did resign. The curse of the law I sustained, did them from all cursing set free, that when by stern justice arraigned, the sinner should look unto me. Hymn 183.
Thank you.
Now, may the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.